A brief note to begin. I have already explained why there are days without commentary on the 1962 readings. That is, because on ferial days, the readings are the same as the Sunday of that week, so it would be repetitive. But when I don't post commentary on the readings for the Novus Ordo Mass, it's because the Haydock Bible does not provide any substantial commentary, or sometimes any commentary at all, on those readings. Sunday, March 2nd. Quinquagesima Sunday. The Epistle from the First Letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. Brethren, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I should have prophecy, and should know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I should have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And if I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I should deliver my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity envieth not, dealeth not perversely, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, seeketh not her own, is not provoked to anger, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth with the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never falleth away, whether prophecies shall be made void, or tongues shall cease, or knowledge shall be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the things of a child. We see now through a glass in a dark manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now there remain faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Haydock Commentary. A tinkling cymbal gives notice and can be beneficial to others, but not to itself. Without charity, both towards every individual and especially towards the common body of the church, none of the aforesaid gifts will be available. These verses prove that faith without good works, and especially charity for God and our neighbor, cannot avail to eternal life. Faith and charity are both essentially necessary. Hence, St. Augustine declares that where there is not true faith, there cannot be justice, because the just man liveth by faith. And where charity is not, there can be no justice, which if they had, they would never tear in pieces the body of Christ, which is the church. Prophecies and tongues last no longer than this life. Knowledge shall be destroyed, that is, the imperfect knowledge we have in this world. For now we know only in part, we only see, as it were, through a glass and imperfectly. Faith, which is of things that appear not, and hope, which is of things that we enjoy not, will cease in heaven. But charity, the greater or greatest even of these three, will remain and be increased in heaven. St. Augustine proves from this text that the saints in heaven have a more perfect knowledge of what passes here below than when they sojourned on earth. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, etc. That is, I, like you, formerly judged of the goodness and excellency of these spiritual gifts by the advantages they procured. But after the Almighty had bestowed upon me His particular light, my opinion was far otherwise. Prophecy and the gifts of languages are certainly very estimable gifts, yet charity is much more excellent. It is by charity we approach near to God, that we become His true image. Can we then wonder at the magnificent praises, glorious prerogatives, and surprising effects St. Paul gives to this all-necessary virtue? The Gospel from Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 43. At that time Jesus took unto him the 12, and said to them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things shall be accomplished which were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. For he shall be delivered to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and the word was hid from them, and they understood not the things that were said. Now it came to pass, when he drew nigh to Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard the multitude passing by, he asked what this meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out much more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus standing, commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I do to thee? But he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he saw and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Haydock Commentary. The apostles understood well enough the sense of the words Christ spoke to them concerning his death, but they could not understand how they could be reconciled with the idea they had previously conceived of the Messiah. They were scandalized in the first place to think that God should suffer anything inflicted by man. They were scandalized in the second place to hear that sufferings and death could lead to victory and empire. And lastly, they were scandalized, their own feelings taking the alarm, lest they should be forced to imitate their master in this part which he had chosen for himself. According to some interpreters, the blind man in this episode is different from the other two whom Jesus cured as he was going out of Jericho.